Simply His Coffee Shop. Today is part four in a six-part series that we are doing on the Ten Commandments. And today we are going to be talking about honoring your father and your mother. And so many people get confused that honoring your parents does not mean fully obeying them. So Donna, tell us what that difference is between honoring and obeying.
A lot of times we get hung up in the English versus Greek and Hebrew, but this time, even in English, honor and obey are clearly two different words. And yet, like my entire childhood, we were taught that the fifth commandment is obey your mom and dad. And I think that they simplify it for children, but then that gets stuck in your psyche and you grow up thinking that that's what it is. Obviously, you should obey your mom and dad.
Of course.
But there's this moment where right now in our Western culture especially, there's a lot of mom and dads that are instructing their children in a way that is very offensive to the Lord and goes directly against exactly what he would tell them
to do. Some of the other commandments that we've already even talked about.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, what my mom told me to lie to my teacher because she's embarrassed. I guess I got to do it because the fifth commandment said that's the kind of thing that gets lost in translation here. So honor, it does mean what it means in English, but the Hebrew word is interesting. It's actually kabod. And what this means is heavy, weighty, and burdensome. So how do we go from that to honor? It's interesting. What it means is when you look at the etymology of the word, which means the study of the roots of words, you get to this moment where it says give weight to your parents.
Okay.
That's what honor in Hebrew means. Give weight to your parents. In other words, respect them, give weight to the word of what they say. It does not mean obey. If it did mean blindly obey, not even just today, but we have biblical characters even that were instructed by either their parents or a mentor to do something that would not glorify God.
So maybe take their counsel into consideration and go to them for counsel? Is that like an example of what that would be?
To give weight, it means to respect. Honestly, at the end of the day, it means respect. I pulled a commentary on this, honor thy father and mother, from the Matthew Pools concise commentary. It's very, very well-respected classic commentary. And he says, honor thy father and mother includes esteem of them shown in our conduct. Listen to this. Obedience to their lawful command.
Okay.
Lawful is the key word here. He stipulates specifically that obedience is only when what they tell you to do is lawful. And then he gives examples. Come when they call you, go where they send you, do where they bid you, refrain from what they forbid you. And then he tells us in what nature and attitude this is to be done. Do this as children, cheerfully and from a principle of love. Also, submission to their counsels and corrections. Endeavoring in everything to comfort parents and make their old age easy. Maintaining them if they need support, which our Savior makes to be particularly intended in his commandment in Matthew 15, verses 4 through 6. So actually, it's far better, just easier to say that the fifth commandment, give weight to what your parents say and live in a way that doesn't just bring honor and glory to yourself and to God, but also to your family name.
Right.
And this goes back into the concept of the idea that the West is very individualized, but the Bible culture was extremely collectivist.
Right. And I think Allie knows more and can explain what that all means.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're in this moment in time, you know, where our society is very individualist, and there are some nice things about having an individualist society. For example, if I do something wrong, that doesn't reflect on Donna. Donna's her own person. They can take her, and she has this autonomy separate from me. There's a lot about this that doesn't just get explained in the Bible, because when you're speaking to an entire culture of people who have been doing this their entire life, there are so many elements that are just presumed. Of course the reader knows. This is the culture they live within. If I come in right now and I say, plug this in, you're immediately going to know that I'm handing you an electrical plug and you take it to the wall and you plug it in. I don't need to say, see, we have these little thingies and they carry electrical current into them and the appliance is powered. Like, I don't need to say all that. Plug this in, you get it. We're good. We're moving right along.
Right.
That's kind of the way the Bible is written in a lot of places, because the Bible took place in a collectivist society, and there's a huge element of honor shame. And there was a required, necessary level of unselfishness. Mm-hmm. So each lives for the other. Mm-hmm. And when everybody's living for God, it all works. And nobody's too exploited in this perfect, ideal case of this happening, because as some give to others, they're receiving from others, and it's all happening. You know, this is ideally how it should work, right?
Yeah.
It's how our relationships today should work. It's how marriage should be. It's how our relationship to and from our children should be. Hence this commandment. And back in this day, if somebody did something wrong, it had the power to dishonor the entire family.
Wow.
If they did something good, it had the power to bring honor to the family. And actually, this impacted so many of the decisions that these people made. Back in this day, most of the time, a person didn't question, what do I want to do when I grow up? It's like, dad did this, I'm doing this, my son will do this. Yeah. And, you know, this is the family.
This
of
is
economy
the family
and
trade.
And commerce. Yes,
basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, side note, this is where a lot of last names come in.
Right,
you know,
I mean,
a lot of names were based on this is what this family does, and hence this is their name.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're so far now removed from the society that this was written to. And unfortunately, the misinterpretation of this commandment gets weaponized against people who maybe don't have an ideal relationship with their parent.
That's what I was going to ask.
And it's really tough. It just, I've seen people who this literally tortures them emotionally.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, they can't reconcile the relationship with their parent. Or worse, they've had to cut that off for their own spiritual or psychological
mental
or physical safety reasons.
Preservation
and then
part.
They feel like they're, by default of the structure of their life and the situation they were born into, they are doomed to break this commandment.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, that's not true. The way we honor our parents is by conducting our life in a way that we don't bring shame to our family name. I mean, there can be more to it if we really elaborate, but really generally, that's what it boils down to.
That's right.
So if you did not have a relationship that was toxic with that parent, and they could just look at you and appreciate you for who you are and what you've done and see the fruit of your life and the things that you've done, would they and or should they be proud of you and look at you and say, can't believe you're my kid. Look at who you are. This is amazing.
Right.
Yay. Bingo. You did it. You're successful. You know, and you have to be able to be a little bit objective with that, because your parent may not be operating on the same criteria that you would be judging. And I'm going to just say, if you're in a situation like this, you need to listen to the good mentors in your life.
Yeah.
And if they're telling you, no, you're amazing, you're doing a good job, I would be so proud to have you as my daughter, then you need to just accept that and realize that may be as close to that parental affirmation as you're ever going to get, but it counts.
Yeah. So, Allie, you know, you're talking about, you know, toxic relationships with parents. There's a lot of people, for whatever reason, you know, that are probably viewing, that grew up without a parent, you know, maybe a single mom is all they had, or, you know,
a single father,
because that's now sadly becoming, you know, moms are ducking out. But, you know, how do you reconcile that with scripture? Because if you're the one with the absent parent and you're trying, you know, to follow the word of God, you know, maybe you're a baby Christian, how do you reconcile that?
Well, again, this was written to a collectivist culture. You know, you have this biblical story of Rachel, who died birthing Benjamin. So he didn't have a mother. She wasn't there. She didn't duck out, but she wasn't there.
Right.
But probably we're going to assume that Leah stepped in and did a lot of that. This was a collectivist community in this situation where you have an absent parent. We assume that somebody else is going to step into that role and take over kind of the needs that parent would have otherwise provided. And so when we're reconciling this with scripture, we have to look at what do we have in our modern day that can be equivalent. I hope you have a good connection with the body of Christ, the kind and loving and dynamic body of Christ that should be a positive influence in your life.
This is
why mentorship is so important, because we don't live in a perfect world where everybody's in their exact role fulfilling it, whether it's because they've ducked out or if it's because they've passed away, you know. But there are people who for whatever reason are dealing with an absent parent or a parent that they've had to distance themselves from.
Sure.
I've seen some of the psychological torment that some of these people go through.
Sure.
And it's terrible, because you can't do your parents' side.
Yeah.
From the side of the child. Well, you can only try to honor them. But if for whatever reason you can't fulfill their side of that, they're not there to mend that side with you or whatever,
right.
You know, you can only take on your side of that, which is basically living a life that would make them proud.
Yeah.
If they could be there and in their right mind and able to objectively and lovingly judge what they see in your life.
Yeah.
I can give you an example of what not to do. The parable of the prodigal son. Again, we miss so much about what happened in this passage of scripture because we're dealing with this individualist society. So if I go to the bank and I say, give me all my money, I want what's mine, I'm going to take it, I'm moving to a different state, I want to start a new life. That's just kind of my thing, whatever. You know, nobody's really going to get so upset. But back in this day, you have this progression of family commerce.
Yeah.
So to go to your parent and say, cash out my part of this, it's like, what? You're not going to be here?
Wow.
Your sons aren't going to be here? And you want to take part of this away from what would be the collective assets of the future generation of this family.
Yeah,
you're literally looking to split a family estate and change the level of provision that I'm able to create for future generations of this family. And to go to your father and say such a thing back in that era was like saying, I'm tired of waiting for you to die to get my part of this.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Give it to me now so I can go and have my fun. What a horrible thing to say to a man who's been building a family legacy and who's been trying to provide, you know, to go in and say, cash me out. And then you didn't have all the ways for liquidating assets back then that you do now.
Right.
So you don't have you don't have eBay and Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. So this man would have had to go to his neighboring property owners and say, I'm looking to cash out part of my estate. Are you looking to expand? Will you buy some of this from me?
That
my son wants to take his half and leave the family.
Mm-hmm.
How humiliating and embarrassing, and what a rude and selfish. I mean, rude and selfish doesn't even begin to cover what this man put his dad through to do all of this. So the dad comes in, he gives him his share of the money. And then what does this guy do with his portion of family legacy? He squanders it on riotous living. Mm-hmm. I got to say, I understand why that brother was upset when he came back.
For sure.
And people say, well, that doesn't mean that he was going to get half of what the family had left over. He was going to be there benefiting from it and taking from it again, whether or not he was allocated another half of the leftover half. The Bible doesn't really clarify that. But the bottom line is he got to come back in to the free provision of that. Mm-hmm. There's a good reason that that brother would have taken
and
that
upset.
Personally.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I probably would be pretty upset, too, if that was my brother, you know, that had gone and squandered all of my dad's hard working and my hard working because I was the one that stayed to continue the family legacy.
Yeah.
You know, and I know we've all been really lucky with great parents, you know, that have been worth honoring. You know, we've had good parents. My parents were really great. We did have a little bit of a thing when Joe and I were trying to get married and the whole obey your parents thing had come up, but we've made a good relationship. They've been on the show before. Mm-hmm. That's a really good episode too. You should go watch that,
that
one. That's
that
a really
very,
fun
I love
one.
Very fun. Yeah.
So there are two sides to that, you know, but Joe and I did also as a couple had to make a decision on what we were going to do. Were we still honoring my parents even though they didn't want us to get married at the time? Or did we have to go by what we were feeling and say we're still honoring them in a roundabout way and look at us now, you know, and we mended those bridges and everything. So it was really hard, but sometimes you have to do what you feel is right too. And that's where the whole honor and obey thing comes in, I think, is that you have to figure out for yourself to what God is calling us to do. You know, you have to decide what God is telling you and you have to listen in your heart to what that is. And we've been married now for 22 years.
Yay.
This year will be 23.
By fast. One of the things I think that could inadvertently come through the study of this commandment is an emphasis on the parent too, because it says, you know, honor your mom and dad. So you're looking at it and you're thinking this applies to all the children. But it actually also, perhaps indirectly,
makes the statement that the parent needs to raise the child in such a way that they understand what is even honorable.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I was very fortunate in that way. Everybody knows who my parents are. It's very obvious. I was raised understanding biblical concepts and understanding what true honoring in a society really looks like, especially in the West when there is just ads everywhere that are distracting. And there's, you know, stuff on the internet all over the place, and there's things you shouldn't be looking at, things you shouldn't be watching. So it's up to the parent to continue to say, look, this is an honorable thing that is not an honorable thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, yeah, the emphasis is on the child here, but that doesn't mean that the parent is completely without responsibility.
Right. I think that commandment gets weaponized along with the respect your elders thing. Mm-hmm. And so I remember growing up in church seeing that thrown around. Like, I said, do this, respect your elders. And it's like, okay, but I have to stop and think if I'm supposed to do that. And I don't think it's a very good day and age for kids to be blindly taught to obey everything somebody older than them tells them to do. There are predators
out there,
they groom people. So it's not going to start with some big obvious thing that the kid's gut is going to, it's going to be this little, there's just too much going on. You have to teach your kids. Yeah. Again, it puts the responsibility on the parent to help the kid develop that discernment, but also to explain to them that respect is not a blind obey.
Yeah,
exactly.
Honor is not a blind obey.
That's it. Yes.
And that's where people get tormented.
Yeah. I cannot agree with you more. I mean, I have friends. I will not go into specifics, but I have friends that were groomed, and perhaps by a mom and dad figure in their life, to understand that obey meant abuse.
Mm. Yes.
And if it goes that far, can you imagine that person now grows up, they don't know anything about the Bible. They don't even know who Jesus is, what the Father did, they know nothing. And they wander into church one day and they find out that one of the Ten Commandments tells them that they had to do everything their parents told them to.
Wow.
That's why it's so crucially important. If you are a preacher, please teach this. Mm-hmm. Honor is not the same as blind obedience.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I agree, Allie.
Yeah, and I think it's really good, too, that we're talking about this is also a commandment for the parents to make sure that you're teaching your child. And this is not a brag on my parenting skills, but it's been kind of cool to watch my daughter, Kate. She'll come and ask Joe and I separately, you know, about something, you know, that's going on in her life. Mom, what do you think about this? How should I handle it? And then she'll do the same thing with her dad, you know, to get our counsel because she respects us. Mm-hmm. But we've also earned her respect.
Right.
It's not a blind respect thing. Right. And I've never taught my children to do that, even with teachers at school or people out in the community. I'm like, I've always taught them, you always be respectful.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you have to blindly respect people and obey what they tell you.
Right.
You come
and
you ask me if it's okay first, you know.
Yeah.
And she's had problems with some teachers because they have not always treated her the way that she has. And we've always taught her, you deserve respect just as much as you give respect. It's a two-way street. And a lot of adults forget that.
Yeah, they do.
They're like, no, you just have to respect me because you have to respect me because I'm an adult and I'm your elder.
Right.
And it's like, no,
fair.
You have to earn that from that child as well. That always just made me crazy. And that did cause a lot of problems for Kate in school because the teachers would get mad that she wasn't respecting them. I'm like, well, you're not treating her with respect, so why would she treat you with respect? If you want respect, you have to give respect.
Yeah.
That's what I've always said.
Yeah, you know, I worked in the school system for years, and one of the things that I really found to be surprising was how many of these kids that have behavioral problems, and they're in the special classroom where there's more discipline and the teacher's, you know, dealing with these behavioral problems. And a lot of them really responded to just simple kindness.
Yeah.
They weren't getting it at home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then they get to school. And there was one particular teacher, and he was a nice man. He actually was super nice to me and, you know, to people that he didn't bump heads with. But he had this mode he'd go into where he'd kind of just bark at him and they'd be like, oh, well, send him to that guy because he's the tough one. But it was really funny, like, when he went straight into this hard mode, just shut down. A lot of times their eyes just glaze over.
Right.
And, you know, it's like there are so many kids that if you will treat them lovingly. They respond to it. I mean, kids need to be treated with love and respect the same way that adults expect to. No, but for some reason, right. We get this idea that because they're physically smaller, mm-hmm. they're not people yet. Why do people do that? Yeah, but they goodness. Do, you know? I mean, it happens. Yeah. And that's part of this, you know, honor, respect, obey combination where it could kind of get on a healthy run and carry itself into a better place if we were sowing the right seeds of love into them. Isn't there a song in the 80s about that?
Probably.
Sowing the seeds of love. Yeah. We need to play that for a minute. Just listen to it.
We do have to take a really quick break, though. We'll be right back.
Hey, gals. Whether you are married, taken, single, or ready to mingle, you'll want to grab your girls and check out Simply His newest Galentine Day package. See what I did there? Gather your girls and dive into a fun and faith-filled night as you discover how God sees you through eyes of love and complete acceptance. God's design to use women as influencers, your true identity in Christ, and the life of victory that God has destined for you. From the Simply His division of Defender Publishing comes the extraordinary 30-day devotional, Arise, by Katie Walker and Philippa A. Buens. Arise is the perfect devotional to share with the important women in your life. We are also including the brand new Simply His tumbler. This stunning turquoise stainless steel tumbler is the perfect on-the-go cup. This tumbler is a great vessel for those toasty, hot, early morning coffees or those ice-cold, refreshing drinks. Speaking of hot and toasty beverages, we have a splendid Simply His Irish breakfast tea that is ideal to serve at the next girl time brunch. This loose leaf tea is a smooth and balanced blend that is beautiful on its own or can be served with a splash of milk for a creamier taste. I'm very excited to announce the release of the newest addition to the Simply His merchandise, the sleek rose gold Simply His t-shirt. This shirt comes in sizes small to 3X and has the Simply His logo printed in metallic rose gold on a soft and lightweight t-shirt. We've included it in this package so you can get your hands on it as soon as possible, whether it's for one of your gals or just treating yourself this Galentine's Day. Shop Simply His online at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985. Don't miss out. For only $50 plus shipping and handling, you don't want to miss out on this phenomenal package. Shop Simply His online at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985.
Welcome back. We are continuing our discussion on honoring your mother and your father, which is not the same as obey. And on that note, Mom, you have been a great mom to your kids and you raised a great son that I get to have forever now. He's a great dad and I know he's modeled a lot of that after what he's seen in you guys. And you guys have totally been great mentors for me. You're like one of the first people I call because my mom lives in Oregon, so she's not here with me, so Mom has been here to help me when I am up at 3 a.m. with the kids. Hey, Mom, what do I do about this? What do I do? You know, so she has totally mentored me and been there for me. And it's been very, very cool.
Well, you know, parenting does not come with any kind of manual that explains how to do things. So I have learned a lot just from my kids and being a parent. And I have had some tools along the way. I know that he's retired, and Dr. Dobson, James Dobson, and the Focus on the Family, the whole crew there, it still is ongoing. They have offered lots of parenting help.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot through them because as a child growing up, there were some things I kind of missed along the way. Mm-hmm. And I won't go into some stuff, but as a mom, I tried to just say, what can I do better?
Yeah.
And I looked for ways to do things better. Because I knew that I was just human and I make mistakes. And Allie, bless her little heart, the oldest one always is the one you learn with. But they all three were different.
Oh,
and
man.
So methods were different. And so what worked with Joe did not work with Donna. What worked with Donna did not work with Allie.
Right.
Because I have three individuals here that respond differently. So yep. How do I gain the respect of that person by acknowledging I can't do the same thing with each kid?
Right.
So I had to modify with each one of them and become very individual. And that was one thing that I always did, is I treated my kids with respect.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a mom, and they got their discipline whenever it was necessary. But I always made them know they were smart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This chokes me up because they're such good kids. But they were all, well, I had my struggles. But Joe was the one who taught me that if you are going to have my respect, you will earn it.
Yeah,
because he
bumped
heads with some of his teachers. And when I investigated, I found out, well, you know what? Why was you treating my son like that? And I was being very objective, because there were some times when just because it was the adult saying, nuh-uh, that did not work with Joe. There was a couple of times when Donna bumped heads with teachers for different reasons. And being expected to obey rules or things in situations that weren't good. And we backed her on that.
Yeah.
Because the teacher was being disrespectful and abusive.
Yeah, she was.
Wow. So, and
she was.
Just saying.
I've actually, without going into the whole thing, because I know we don't have time, that particular fourth grade abuse did involve being told, because we were going to swim classes, that I had to dress down 100% in front of the entire female side of the class.
Right.
And I carried that into therapy. I really did. Because I was raised that you don't just take your clothes off in front of randos.
Right. Right.
And I was made to do that. And my parents, I mean, the way they responded was instantaneous.
Yeah.
They wrote letters. Mom stomped down to the office. I won't go into the long version. I have told this before, but here's the thing. When I knew that Mom and Dad had my back, and I knew that they could back up what they were teaching me with biblical precedent, that stuck with me forever, and it let me know my mom and dad are on my side.
Yep.
Because I wasn't sure in the beginning, because I didn't know, am I going to get in trouble if I go home and tell mom and dad I disobeyed my teacher? Mom and dad are going to be mad at me.
Right.
I did obey my teacher, and I wish I wouldn't have now.
Right.
But I'm glad it happened to me, because my parents had my back, and I don't know if it would have happened to another girl if she would have gone home and their parents would not have had her back.
Right.
It was an awful deal. Mom and dad were there for me. They had my back every single time in every biblical way. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Well, we are all out of time again. That went way too fast on this one. Thank you so much for joining us, though, and we hope that you learned something. Next week, we will be talking about Commandments 6, 8, and 9. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you next time in the Simply His Coffee Shop.
Woo!